This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie, and I'd love to know what airplane that was.
I don't know, but you flew on it.
Apparently.
And apparently it was fun.
Yeah, works for me.
Yep, that, you're easy to please.
I am.
Joining us now is Jonathan Shannon of NOAA, and he's a hurricane hunter. Good afternoon. Good day, sir.
Good to see you at that.
Good morning.
You know, I love the term hurricane hunter. I can see Elmer Fudd. He'd be very, very quiet.
I'm hunting hurricanes.
Yeah, found it right here.
You have to sneak up from behind, right, or they get angry.
Exactly, yeah.
I was going to say hurricanes and angry. They sure have been the past few years. There have been a lot of them. They're forecasting more hurricanes than ever for this year, from what I've been reading. That's got to have you guys going, oh no.
Yeah, we had a lot of really busy seasons recently. 2020 was the first most active season, and 2021 was the third most active season. So back to back, our pilots were really working
hard. Well, you know what they say about records, right?
Made to be broken.
Yeah, we'll see. You've got two P-3 Orions. I love P-3 Orions. Nice airplanes.
They're fantastic aircraft. We've got two, Kermit and Miss Piggy. So Kermit has been flying through storms since 1976 and Miss Piggy since 77. And they're basically aerial laboratories. We take the weather station to the weather, not just hurricanes, but in the winter, in the spring, we're doing all sorts of atmospheric and weather research.
Okay, so you're not grounded waiting for hurricanes. You're doing other stuff as well.
No, there is no off-season for science.
Well, that's true. That's true. Unless, of course, you know, what you're looking for just doesn't show up.
That's when science takes a break. I knew it was going to be here.
Yeah.
Well, what the heck? You know, who did this? Who scheduled this weather and why?
So how many aircraft in total do you have?
Well, for the NOAA Hurricane Hunters, we have three currently. So we have two P-3s, Kermit and Miss Piggy, and one Gulfstream 4. Gonzo. So Gonzo is getting ready to retire. We've got on order a brand new G550 that's going to be coming to us, and it's going to be the most advanced climatological research aircraft in the world. So wow. We're really excited about that.
Okay. Why a Gulfstream? Why not say a 737?
Because it's cool.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, it's a bespoke sort of operation here at the NOAA Aircraft Operations Center. So the Gulfstream is one that will fit in our hangar. We're able to instrument it with a tail Doppler radar as well as a lot of other instruments. This new G550, we've been working with the German DLR, I believe, research. They're Halo aircraft, and so we're going to have that whole package plus our hurricane package and some more stuff from the NOAA Office of Oceanic and Atmospheric Research. So it's going to be pretty well kitted out.
You talk about instrument packages. Are these packages modular so that you can change them out for whatever mission is coming up next, or is it just install and done?
Well, that's a great question. We have fabulous aerospace engineers, electronics engineers, avionics, and then also great sheet metal techs working with us. So scientists can come to us and say, hey, I've got this instrument. I want to study this thing, and we'll figure it out. Mainly our twin otters are basically those Lego sets where we can plug and play different instruments into them. The Hurricane Hunters have some very standard instruments, but you know, right now we're adding in uncrewed aircraft systems. So we've put in a new drone pilot station on board the aircraft, and we're throwing out these small UASs into the center of hurricanes and collecting some really neat data that way too.
Have you been doing the drones long? Did you do them last year as well?
Yeah, so it's been in development for a while, but last year we had an Altius 600 going to Hurricane Ian right before landfall. So this was a record-setting one for us. It was persistent in the storm for about 2.5 hours, and we were able to transmit about 130 nautical miles. Some previous work we'd done was like with the Raytheon Coyote into Maria and Irma in 2017, and 2014 was sort of the first launch, but that was only about 30 nautical miles. So as technology's gotten better and the radios have gotten better, I heard you all talking about your radio for your model airplane, we're able to transmit that data further through the hurricane to our aircraft, so we're not babysitting, you know, a flying drop sond in the middle.
Right. Now, you're talking about a linger time of over 2 hours for a battery-operated drone?
That's right.
That's impressive.
That's a heck of a battery pack.
Yeah, this is, I mean, I got the impression these were small throwaways, but apparently they're not quite as small as I'm thinking.
Yeah, so the Altius has about a wingspan of 3 feet. We had on display at Hangar D, at our NOAA booth, the Black Swift, which is one we're testing this season. And that is a little bit smaller, maybe a foot wingspan, and that's the one that lasts about an hour and a half, but the Altius lasts about 2 to 2.5 hours.
Now, I would think that, you know, it might fly for about 10 seconds until the storm gets a hold of it. Then more, it's just tossed all over the place.
Yeah, and the wings fold up and it goes gloved. You know, we're talking about smaller RPVs here, but what about a larger one, say a Reaper, a Predator, or a Global Hawk? Has there been any talk about putting one of those through a hurricane?
Yeah, we did some experimentation with Global Hawk, I think back in the 2014, 2015, 2016 time frame, but we were just too small of a customer at that point to really modify it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you couldn't figure out how to hotwire one.
Yeah.
Steal it.
There you go.
Well, hey, you guys using that?
Yeah, tactically borrow it from some of our DOD partners.
Liberate
it. Yeah, exactly.
All right, one of the other things, you're talking about the P-3 Orions. They're going to be retiring. You're going to be getting a WC-130J, okay? Why are you going with a turboprop rather than, say, a full jet aircraft?
That's a great question. So jets really can't fly through walls of water like a turboprop can. And that's the thing with it, is the engines on the C-130J and the P-3 are very similar, so they can take a licking and keep on ticking as far as, you know.
Oh, I like that concept.
Yeah, the prop, it feathers, so it gives us that instantaneous response. With a jet, you've got to spool up, and when you're changing altitude with some of those buffets and going through those walls of water, you know, a jet just won't work for you. So the C-130 is a proven platform as well. So our colleagues, the Air Force Reserve Hurricane Hunters that fly out of Biloxi, fly C-130Js. But those are, you know, the cargo variant. We are getting ones that are designed specifically for us, able to pack in all the scientists and the science, and hope to have them in operation by 2030.
The real reason, though, is they can put more padding inside so the people don't get beat up.
Well, you know, that, and they can have a microwave oven.
Oh, and I think the last thing you're thinking about is food.
You might be surprised on those long missions.
Well, yeah, what is your typical duration?
So our missions are typically 8 to 10 hours, with about 4 to 6 hours of that being in the storm environment, usually planning about 2 hours of transit.
Multiple flight crews, or one guy gets to do it all?
Yeah, so we have 3 pilots on board, 2 in the seat and 1 resting, and then we have 2 flight engineers, one working the power levers and one resting in the back, and then the scientists are throughout the aircraft, so it's pretty busy.
You were talking about multiple power changes due to the buffeting and such. Am I to assume that you cannot fly an autopilot determined path? It's got to be hand-flown?
Yeah, it's hand-flown with some autopilot assist, is what I've heard from our pilots. And so you've got the person in the left seat working really hard to keep wings, you know, level on course. They're crabbing into the wind, so we're always flying sort of into the wind at about 210 knots indicated. And then the person in the right seat's monitoring, you know, helping out as needed, and working the comms with the folks in the back as far as the science objectives and making sure when we're releasing expendables, you know, none of our other partners like the Air Force are under us or that sort of thing.
Well, I don't think Air Force makes a business of going into hurricanes, do they?
Oh, the Air Force Reserve Hurricane Hunters, yes.
Oh,
so sometimes
okay.
We're in the storm together.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting cold, getting busy up there.
I was going to say, one of the you hit upon something there. How the heck do you rest on one of these missions?
Not easy.
You've got to be getting
a lot of bungee cords to hold you down.
Yeah, I was talking with one of our Hurricane Aircraft Commanders, Commander Pat Didier. He was here, did a forum a little bit ago. But he says, you know, if he's the aircraft commander, he'll take off and then he'll go and he'll sleep during the transit and then come back
right,
and get
when
ready.
It's quiet.
When it's quiet on the way. And I feel it's a hack, right? It's not necessarily a cheat, you know, with the connotation.
It's a hack. It's a was it pro tip?
Life hack. Yeah. Pro tip. Yeah,
sleep on the way out, because you're not getting any sleep once you're there.
And I was going to say, one of the other interesting adventures has to be, well, a trip to the bathroom for a start. And of course, if you've got drinks on board the airplane, which everybody's going to have, long distance duration, you got to stay hydrated.
Yep, you do.
That's got to be a lot of closed containers.
Yeah, really good lids.
Cup holders that don't ever let go.
No.
This is a phenomenon that, as far as I know, is not necessarily associated with hurricanes much. Well, what about lightning? You guys get struck by lightning a lot? You see a lot of it?
We see a lot of it. Like during Hurricane Ian, some of our air crew gave me some pictures back, and it looked like it was noonday, but it was a 2 a.m. flight just based on how much lightning was going on inside the convective cells in the wall of the hurricane. So
wow.
it was a pretty bumpy ride through Ian. But yeah, they have the static whips and other things to get rid of the charge.
I'm sure they've been hit many times.
Yeah, there have been like one or two that they found, but I don't necessarily know. Not a lot of damage that we normally see, but no. they're walked over pretty well when they come back in.
Yeah, I bet. And the scientific instruments go boom for a split second. I was like, what was that?
And the computer sits there and goes boing.
And then the toilet won't flush. It's terrible.
You have to reset the clock on the microwave.
Yeah, that's it. you're looking forward to the 130 then? You figure the P3s, you know, what are you going to do with those? I'll give you $20 for one.
Well, as the public affairs officer, I'm hoping to try and get it in the Smithsonian. So if they're listening, you know, hey, I got a deal for you?
Such a deal.
70 or almost 50 years of hurricane and atmospheric research right there, you know, embodied in one plane. So.
Okay.
All right.
50 years of people hurling inside one airplane.
Yes, the art of hurling in hurricanes.
Yes, the biggest sick bag dispensers you've ever seen.
Yeah, we'll put in an air freshener.
Okay. So. I hope so. Giant can of Febreze.
Here's the big question. You're going to get this new C-130. What are you going to name it?
That is a question. We're in some discussions now, so watch this space. But
I was going to say, may I recommend Animal?
Animal, yeah. No, nobody wants to fly on that one. What was the other guy? Doctor something?
Bunsen Honeydew and Beaker.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
The chef.
The Swedish chef, yeah.
Dr. Teeth, is that
Dr.
what it was?
Dr. Teeth, yes. The Electric Mayhem, yeah.
Yes, that's there it is right there, the Electric Mayhem.
But yeah, I mean, looking towards the future, I heard you talking about young kids getting involved in aviation.
Yes.
We've got our recruiter here in Hangar D. It's an amazing pathway to aviation from, you know, low-level surveys all the way into flying into hurricanes as a NOAA Corps officer.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us. This is all good stuff. And you're in Hangar Delta?
D, yes, sir, at the International Federal Pavilion.
All right. Head on over there. Head on over there. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie in clear weather here at EAA Radio.